Hallelujah, hallelujah. God is in this place. Amen. Yes, he is. Thank you. God is here. The presence of the Lord is here and desiring to move among us. God is directing me. And as he is directing me, I know he is ministering and directing to each and every one of you as well. God gave me a message for us. This message that I have is not just for two or three. God will do that sometimes, won't he, Bishop? He'll give a man of God or a woman of God a sermon or something that's for a handful. And then there's times when he gives it for everyone. This is for each and every one of us. Amen. I'm going to jump on in here. If you got your Bible, turn to the book of, you won't have to look very far, Genesis chapter 25. I'm glad you are here today. Amen. Give yourselves a hand, your neighbor a hand, for making the effort to be where you need to be. Amen. There's no better place to be on a Sunday or a special service than the house of the Lord gathered together in his name. Amen. Genesis chapter 25. And I'm going to read starting at verse 24, the King James Version. I promise I am not sick. But my voice is messed up. Genesis 25, starting verse 24. And when her days to be delivered, she's going to have children, were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over like a hairy garment. And they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out. And his hand took hold on Esau's heel. And his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, a manly man. And Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau, but he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sowed pottage. And Esau came from the field, and he was faint. This was after they had grown up. And Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with the same red pottage, with the same soup that you have. For I am faint, I am hungry, I am tired. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day your birthright, Esau. Give me your birthright, because you were born first. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die, which was not accurate. And what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and soup. And he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. The writer of Hebrews chapter 12 verses 16 writes that Esau was a profane person who for just a morsel, just a little bit of food, a little bit of natural meat sold his birthright. I'm going to read another portion of scripture. John chapter 6, verse 24. Jesus here. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, this was right after he fed thousands of people with just a few fish and a little bit of bread. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got in boats and came to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered them and said, Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me. I want you to hear this. You seek me not because you saw the signs. In other words, not because of the miracles, not because of the words I spoke, not because of the deliverance that I was giving out, not because of the miraculous. You not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. That's why you seek me. Do not labor, he says. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. Do not labor for the food that perish, but the food which endure to everlasting life. The title that I have from the Lord for you and I today is The Right Appetite. The Right Appetite. Brother Hancock, if you would, say a prayer over the remainder of the service. Amen. You may be seated if you are standing. The right appetite. How many of you, play along with me. Listen, earlier I had to hold some imaginary leprechaun's hat and cane or coat or whatever it was. So play along with me. How many of you, by a show of hands, have ever been hungry? I knew that I'd have a lot of hands. Sister Amanda's like me. We get hangry often. Amen. My wife would tell you, I get hangry. Her mother, my mother-in-law, I don't care if she listens later. Man, that woman gets straight up hangry. So we've been hungry. We hunger. We often, I would say most of us, we often say that we are hungry. What are you talking about, Pastor? It's already almost lunchtime. I didn't eat breakfast. I hope you don't preach long because I am hungry. We often say we're hungry. And if you are anything like me, not only do you sometimes say that, man, I'm hungry, but you will even feel so hungry that you will even say that you are starving. Man, I'm starving. Just ate 4 hours ago, but I'm starving. It's like a baby on a 2-hour feeding schedule. I'm starving. Man, I am so starving, I could eat an entire cow. You ever said something like that? I am so hungry, I am so starving, I can eat the half back end of a donkey somewhere. That might be just Southern, I don't know. I am so hungry that I'll settle for McDonald's right now. Man, that's gross stuff, but man, sometimes I want it. I don't know why. It's bad for you. I am so hungry that just I'll take anything right now. I'm so hungry. Man, I'm starving. I could eat anything. I've said this numerous times, kiddingly, because you can look at me and realize this is definitely not true, but I have said often, I'm starving to death. I'm withering away to nothing here. When are you going to cook? Won't you cook yourself? Withering away to nothing. I am starving. Have you ever said anything like that? I know you have. I know I'm not the only one that has made statements like that. I have heard some of you say similar things. If we are being honest today, if we're being real, most, if not all of us, unless maybe the small children haven't, but most of us, sometime or another, have let it be known. We have shown that we are, or who have let it be known verbally and have said that we are hungry or even starving. And though this is true, we do get hungry. You can be fat and get hungry. Can I get a amen from the fat people? Amen. See, he ain't fat. He said amen. Woo! So this is true. But we have all said, I'm hungry or I'm starving. And though that is truly the case from time to time, it seems like we have so frequently, this is something we commonly say here, in America especially, and it seems like that we so frequently and casually make statements about our hunger that we have made light of the reality of great hunger and starvation that is truly present around us. I'm not going to try to take up $11 a month for the starving children. I'm just, is it not truth? We say things like this so easily that we belittle or water down or make light of the reality of global starvation. World hunger, starvation is truly, in our world in 2022, a real issue. It truly is. From my wife's research, she helps me sometimes. From my wife's research and from my research on the subject of hunger and starvation, we have found that, and the numbers are everywhere. They're very scattered, but working together and looking at different things online, we have found and came to the conclusion together that 3 to 9 million people a year annually, die from starvation. You can't go very long without water. And I think it was around 70, 72 days that somebody can actually sometimes, not all, but some, can go that long without food. Just think about that. 3 to 9 million people a year die from starvation. That's a lot of people. That's a whole lot of people in our world today that are literally dying from starvation. Starving to death. How sad is that? That's truly sad when you think about it. When you realize, think about this, when you realize and you think about it, that with all the efforts of humanity, with all the, we have a great food pantry here, with all the food pantries that are all throughout our world and our country, with all the efforts that we give to fight hunger and the World Food Organization, the World Food Programs, hunger relief organizations, America Against Hunger, and so many other nonprofit and other groups that they focus and their main focus, some their only focus is feeding those that are hungry and starving. With all of that, so many, how sad is it that there's so many efforts on our part, yet so many in our world die daily from starvation. Starvation is a big killer in our world. We don't realize it so much, but it is true. In regards to this issue of hunger and starvation, what is surprising to me, I learned this and talked to others, what is surprising to me is that there becomes a time in the person's life, there becomes a time in that individual that is experiencing or going through the process of starvation. It was weird. Starvation is a process. It ain't going to hurt you to miss a few meals. It ain't going to hurt you to miss a few days. But in studying and realizing it, it's kind of different. It's kind of surprising to me the process of starvation. An individual that is experiencing starvation, that they no longer, eventually they get to a point where they are no longer feeling the pain of hunger. We can go a day without eating. And some people have sugar issues. And you can go a day without eating and you begin to shake. We can go a day without eating and our stomach begins to hurt. And the next day it begins to hurt again. And we have trouble going to sleep and we almost feel like our stomach is in knots. That is a process of hunger. But as time goes by and there's no food taken in and you begin going from hungry to starving, eventually the individual that's going through that process no longer feel the pain of hunger. They no longer feel the pain of starvation like they once did. Their stomach shrinks. They couldn't hold the amount of food they once did anyways if they tried. If you've ever fasted before, a spiritual fast or even a natural fast, if you ever fasted before for a significant amount of time and from food and you've abstained from food for a spiritual reasons and prayed and whatever the case may be, you will realize that when you break that fast, you think, man, I'm hungry, I'm starving, I can't wait till I'm anticipating the day that God, I feel released from this fast. I'm going to go eat some pizza, I'm going to go eat some pasta and some salad, and let's go eat at the restaurant. We're going to break our fast, and this is going to be good. I'm going to eat a lot. Have you ever felt that way? And then you go, you're breaking your fast, and you eat a slice of pizza, and a bite of another, and you're like, oh, man, I am stuffed. When 3 weeks ago, or a week ago, or however long it was, you could have probably ate about 9 slices. You'd have forced yourself a little, but you could have ate a whole lot more. Why? Because your stomach has changed. Your appetite is not as strong as it once was. Are you with me? Starvation is a process, and it is odd that eventually the person going through that process again gets to a place where they are not so much affected by the pain of starvation. Some would say that they even get to the point that they don't feel the pain pretty much at all. 60 days, 50 days, 70 days, not even really, it's just become a part of their life. Yet they die from it, though they no longer feel the pain like they once did. No, like they no longer feel that hunger in their stomach, that pain and that, man, that desire to, God, I got to eat. They get to a point where they're just like, whatever. And though they don't feel the pain, they still die. It is truly sad that people die from starvation. But I want you to hear me now. As sad and as bad and as horrible natural hunger, starvation in our world is, as bad as starvation is and may be, I'm here to tell you right now that spiritual hunger for God. Oh, come on. Spiritual hunger for the not just any old thing. Not just watered down things spiritually, but spiritual hunger for God, the things of God, spiritual hunger for the truth of God, for the truth of His Word, for His holiness, for godliness, for His Spirit I hunger after, for His love that we hunger after, His mercy and His grace that we hunger after, spiritual hunger for His righteousness is not. Physical hunger is a bad thing, but spiritual hunger of the things of God is not a bad, horrible, or sad hunger to have at all. Somebody, are you with me? Somebody say amen. I want you to hear me. hungering after God and His righteousness is not negative, is not harmful, is not hurtful, is not bad. To hunger after Jesus Christ, to hunger after His holy word, to hunger after the spiritual things He has for you, to hunger after God is a good thing to hunger for. For Jesus Christ Himself said in Matthew 5, verses 6, in preaching His own word, He said, blessed are those who hunger. That don't sound good. I don't feel blessed when I'm hungry. I don't feel blessed when I'm fasting. I don't feel blessed when I'm starving. But He's not talking about the natural. He says, blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. They shall be filled. Oh, I'm here to tell you today, right now, hungering after God. If we hunger after God, if we realize that hunger that we have inside of us spiritually is not for carnal things, but for godly things, then I'm telling you right now, you will not only feel good about yourself, but you will be satisfied and filled because He promised it. Amen. Hungering for the things of God is having the right appetite. Oh, hallelujah. I want you to hear me. There has to be a hunger in us. Not just a desire to come to church. We need to come to church. We need to gather together. We need to forsake not to do those things. We need to worship the Lord. We need to pray. We need to praise. We need to worship. But it's all for naught if there's no hunger for more of Him. Has to be a hunger and not just a repetitive, let's go through the motions. Somebody say amen. Right now, it is so true. I think you said something about it Friday in the devotion. Right now in our world today, right now in America and across and around the world today, there is a genuine hunger for God. There is a genuine hunger for more of God. No longer are some of these people around America and around the world satisfied with, oh, praise the Lord, I'm going to read John 3:16, and that's all I need. There's more to the Word of God than just John 3:16. It's a great verse, but there's more. Amen. I'm here to tell you, there is a genuine hunger for the things of God in the hearts and lives of so many right now. I know the enemy and the news, and if you want to call it news, wants to tell you all the bad, all the negative, and all the political, but with all of the nonsense, with all of the distractions that they're keeping you looking at, I'm telling you, if you look past all of that, you will see hunger in your neighbor. You'll see hunger in your brothers and sisters in Christ. You'll see hunger in our world today, not for another sneaker bar, but you'll see hunger for a genuine move of God in their lives. This world is hungry, and they're hungry for the things of God. Right now, you'll see it. You're seeing it in the colleges, Asbury College. You see, you can even look it up now. You're seeing it at Tabernacle of Praise in Kingsport, Tennessee. You're seeing it at some of our churches. But you're seeing it not just in our churches. You're seeing this hunger in high schools. You're seeing this hunger in colleges. You're seeing this hunger in Walmart being manifest. People are so hungry. They don't know where to go, but they realize there's something they need that is spiritual, that they're not feeling that satisfied from anything else. There is a hunger for God, and because they are spiritually hungry, God is pouring out His Spirit upon them. Why? Because that's what God does to the hungry. Amen. They're spiritually hungry. When the doctor said, I can't help you, they're hungry for a great physician. They're hungry, and because of their hungry, Jesus' words, His promise is ringing true in their life. And that's why people that have never even heard of the Holy Spirit and the evidence that is given to us when we receive His Spirit, that's why they are experiencing that. And that's why they're going to go back to what they used to be in. They're going to go back to their churches that don't believe in the Word of God. They're going to go back to their false religions, and they're going to go back to their lifestyles, and eventually that hunger is going to get to them, and they're going to be like, I've got to get this hunger taken care of. I can't find it in my old life. I'm here to tell you, you can't find satisfaction in your old life, but you can find it when you hunger after His righteousness. Are you still with me? They are hungry. And I'm here to tell you today, child of God, that we here in Crossroads Apostolic Ministries, we here in Taylorville, Illinois, we must, it is a necessity for us to move forward. It is a necessity in our horrible, dark, dying, depressing, evil, horrible world that we must. It is a necessity that we get and we have and recognize our hunger for God. We have got to have a hunger for the things of God. We have shifted, in a sense, as a society and as Christians and as a people to satisfy hunger with garbage. Oh, come on. It's like settling for McDonald's when every while saying, hey, I just made 6 steaks. They're good. I made all the fixings. It's good. And you're like, you know what? That sounds good, but I don't want to wait. I know you're almost done cooking those mashed potatoes that go along with that, but I think I'd just rather go ahead and get my cheeseburger. Listen, that cheeseburger's not going to satisfy you. We have got to get a genuine hunger for what is most important. I told Brother Tim yesterday, I said, in our area, and it's everywhere in the world. It is everywhere in the world. But you don't know it because you've been here, most of you, your whole lives. But in our area, in general, there is a problem that I did not have where I grew up in. And I grew up in a town much bigger than ours. And you know, this problem is everywhere, but not as much as it is here. And that is a priority problem. We have, as a people in our community, I'm not saying you and necessarily you, but we have a problem in our community with people prioritizing over themselves and their children. They would rather their child go and be on a going basketball team that travels all around everywhere. I'm not saying that's always bad. I'm not saying that. But I'm here to tell you right now, we've got to get our priority. It does your child, it does your son, your daughter, your spouse no good to get the best education in the world if they don't have Jesus in their heart. Amen. It does our grandchildren, it does our children no good to go on baseball camps and basketball camps. And I'm not saying those are bad, but when those things take priority over serving the Lord, coming to church, worshiping the living Savior, there is a problem with our hunger. Our appetite is not the right appetite. Oh, come on, somebody. Are you with me? We've got to prioritize. When serving God, when prayer time, when worship time, when coming and gathering together with the body of Christ becomes optional, there is an appetite problem. Oh, Pastor, come on now. I'm here to tell you, I speak to myself. There's times when my priorities are jacked up. And I got to remind myself, what I'm hungry for is not found in all the things I desire. What I'm hungry for will come from the living God. I've got to get myself, like the song says, come to the table. I'm here to tell you, God's table is always set. God's table is always full. God's table is always ready. He's always a father who's ready to feed His children. Oh, come on. Do you believe that today? He's always ready to feed that hunger. We have issues sometimes. Got to get our priorities straight, or we'll teach those around us to feed the garbage, to eat the junk food instead of what He's wanting to give us. Esau had an attitude issue. He'd been out in the field. He's been hunting. He'd not been sitting in a tree somewhere with a rifle. He's been hunting. He's been looking. He's been walking. He's been searching. He's been journeying, looking for venison or looking for whatever it was, the deer or whatever it was he's trying to get for food. It's hot. He's tired. So his priorities weren't focused on what they needed to be at that moment. Does that make sense to you? There's times we're hunting. There's times we're flowing in this world. There's times we're going and moving and just going through life, living to live. And we've got to have food. We've got to hunt. We got to fish. We got to do this. We got to prepare. We got to build. We got to do that. And we're doing the normal things of life. And sometimes if we're not careful, we can become like Esau and just worry about those things. And so here comes Esau, and he comes to Jacob, who is nothing like him. And he says, man, you've been making some food. I'm starving. I'm exhausted. I'm shaky. I'm at the point to die. He really wasn't at that point. Probably had 70 more days. I'm so hungry. Give me some food. And Jacob, being the one that even in his mother's womb held his brother because he wanted to be first, his priorities wasn't on that bowl of food he made. He thought to himself, he's hungry for this food, but I'm hungry for spiritual things. Give me your birthright, and I'll give you this food. Fine. You can have my birthright. See, you don't understand the birthright was something more than just being first. Yes, everything would be handed to him, and everything would, his family would be belong to him and not his brother and all of those things. But by the birthright that Jacob was given from Esau, that was saying that the promises of Abraham, the covenant of Abraham, would be given not to Esau, but to Jacob. The lineage of Jesus Christ would not now come from Esau, but come from Jacob. And Jacob said, I don't care about this soup. I care about the birthright. So you see two brothers there, that one that was concerned about his temporary need, and the other who said, I know it might be long lasting, it might take a while, but I want the birthright. He had the right appetite. You can say what you want to say about his method. You can say what you want to say about how it all came about. But the truth is, his birthright was given to him for a bowl of soup. And God blessed him. The covenant was with him. You ever heard that slogan? Candy bar, Snickers satisfied. Hungry? Why wait? Nothing satisfies like he satisfies. Nothing. You said it when you opened service or when you came up here for prayer. You said we get concerned with cars and we get concerned with work job, a better paying job. We get concerned with our education. We get concerned with our home, a better life. And those things aren't bad things to have. It's not bad to desire something better for you or your children. Those are not bad, but sometimes that becomes our focus. That becomes our desire. And it becomes where we focus our appetite. Our appetite becomes things of the world, women, men, better home, better car, more money, more time, more entertainment, more this and more that. And what we are doing is we get to a place that we're consuming, we're going after what we want, but in reality, we're starving to death. Could it be that we, even here in the church, who love the Lord, don't hunger like we once hungered? Maybe we're hungry and we're in that process of starvation and we're getting to the point that we don't hurt like we used to hurt. Are you following me? We're getting to that place that it doesn't mean as much as it once did. When I felt bad for not doing this or not doing that, and I got out of my spiritual routine, and man, it made me feel bloody bad for a while. But then I get to a point where, man, it's not so bad. I'm telling you, if you're in that place, you're in a place, and we could all be in that place and not even realize it. People get to a place of starvation without even realizing they are starving to death. You can listen to every sermon you want, or let me rephrase that, you can hear any sermon you want. But hearing does nothing if you don't listen and apply. You must apply. Food could be laid out before you every service. Spiritual food. God is the bread of life. And His bread of life can be laid out before you every service. And you can get picky and choosy. Hungry people aren't choosy. Spoiled people are choosy. What are you hungry for, honey? I'm hungry for some fried chicken. No, you want fried chicken. What are you hungry for? I'm hungry for some cake and not the cheeseburger. What are you hungry for? I'm really hungry for some Chinese. Going through the kitchen looking for something, and I want something. I don't know what it is. Have you ever done that? I want something. I don't know what. You try a little bit of chips, and you're like, oh, that ain't satisfying me. And maybe I just want this Swiss cake roll. And you eat the Swiss cake roll, and it really ain't, you eat a bite of it, it really ain't doing it for me. And maybe I'll just heat up this frozen dinner. I know it's gross and everything, but I'm hungry for something, and I don't know what it is. Listen, we can get to a place spiritually where we're hungry for something, and we don't even realize what we're hungry for is not less of God, but more of God. Amen. If you're picking and choosing what you want to consume, you're not hungry. And by that, you're not satisfied. Because it's the opposite with the Lord. When you're starving in the natural, oh man, it's bad. But when you're hungry spiritually, if you consume of God, it's a good thing. Because He will always feed us. It is time for us to have the right appetite. And that means we must have the right attitude. People with a hunger for God don't say, I'll wait for the Lord to come. Oh, come on. Are you still with me? People for a hunger for God don't say, I'll go to church next week. I'll go to church next month. I'll get saved on my deathbed. People for a hunger for God don't say, oh, I'll worship if they sing this song. People that have a hunger for God don't say, well, if God chooses to minister to me, if God chooses to feed me today, then I'll eat. People with a hunger are like the person in the Word of God that came to Jesus and He said, who are you? What do you think you are? And she said, hey, listen, you even give dogs the crumbs from your table. I'll take some crumbs. That's someone is hungry. And what did Jesus do? Man, you're willing to take crumbs? Let me give you something greater than crumbs. People that are hungry, Lainey, come to church and say, I'm not leaving until I receive the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. That's someone that's hungry. People that are hungry are saying, I'm not going to stop praying for my son until he gets out of that addiction, until he gets out of that bad situation and gives his heart to God. I'm not going to stop praying for my husband until his heart is changed and he realizes that this is real, right, and necessary, and not just for some, but for him. That's someone that's hungry. Someone that's hungry says, like the woman with the issue of blood who says, you know what? I'm not going to wait for God to come to me. I'm going to go to God and I'm going to do everything I can to reach for Him. That's someone that's hungry. We have got to get to a place. Starving people are desperate people to be fed. We have got to realize that there is more for us than just coming to church and going through the motions. He has promise for you. He has a spirit for you. He has a healing for you. He has a miracle for you. He has a blessing for you. He has promises for you and your children. Oh, come on, somebody. We've got to hunger after those things. And if we do, He is faithful to feed our hunger and give us a full stomach, if you will, to satisfy us. If you hunger and thirst, you shall be filled.